Please note, this following podcast features bad language right from the fucking start. And now, dissecting the week's most shared news stories and separating the truth from the nonsense, it's the Ministry of Swooping.
Hello and welcome to the Ministry of Swooping, a brand new podcast that does what you can't be bothered to do, look into the memes and stories doing the rounds on social media and working out if there's any truth to them. And yes, I know it is an unusual name, but then so is Engelbert Humperdinck. So why do we do this? Well, online it's getting increasingly harder to tell the truth from the fiction, and so we're here to step up and do the background research that a normal sane person wouldn't be bothered to do. We'll tell you if you can trust your Facebook post from that morning you used to go to school with, we'll tell you whether to believe that idiot cousin's ramblings on Twitter, and we'll alert you if any of these post-truth politicians actually say something factually correct. And we're going to have a little fun along the way as well. So settle in for some bad/lazy investigative journalism and a whole heap of bullshit. I'm your host today, the Secretary of State for Nonsense, Al Galpin, and joining me as my parliamentary undersecretaries on this week's show, she's the world's most reluctant podcaster and once ate a bee, it's my wonderful wife, Kitty. Hello, Kitty.
Hi.
And joining us from the wonders of South, via the wonders of technology, from the wondrous South Wales, a man who has more Funko figures than he has hairs on his head. It's the host of Legend in My Spare Time and Matt Lees Gets Creative. It's Matt Lees.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me.
Now,
if you would have said wrestling figures, you would not have been far off.
I know, that's what I was thinking. So thanks for coming back on again. Matt, it's great to have you here, back by popular demand.
Oh, thank you. I'm just here swooping in for a second appearance.
My original plan is to have various different people here and there on different shows and what have you. In the last few days, I've been really ill and not sorted anyone out. And then I put a post up on Facebook, anyone free? And Matt's like, oh, I can do it again. So thank you very much for coming back.
You're welcome. I figured Kitty would also like a rematch.
Yeah, we'll get to the rematch of the fact shootout later on.
Yeah, I need to have another go. Lose again, though.
Scores to be settled. So first things first, Matt, how is Elvis and have you seen him lately?
He's working at Kmart. He calls me up when new toys arrive. He says, "Say, man, get down here. I got a new case of Hasbro's for you."
See, I can believe that.
I've genuinely paid employees of toy stores to call me first when the new wrestling figures come in. But you got to do some things sometimes to get things done.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Kitty? How are you this week?
I have no answer.
Yeah, that's a good start. You've not done anything this week? I don't think we have, actually, have we?
No. It's all your fault.
It's my fault. Yeah, I wasn't
it's
well.
Because you were feeling ill.
I don't cope in the heat. And Thursday, obviously, was that really hot day last week. I think that did something to me, because on Friday, I started with a sore throat and a headache, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And by the time I finished work, I just couldn't do anything, couldn't concentrate. I had no appetite. I didn't eat my dinner. I went to bed at 8 o'clock for the first time in God knows how long. Had a horrendous night's sleep, and then was no good to man or beast on all day Saturday. And Kitty, having just done 3 long days at work, then had to look after Hunter on her own because I was just out of it. And when Hunter went for his nap, so did I. And I had a 2-hour nap in the middle of the day.
Beautiful.
You're basically an overgrown baby.
I am an overgrown baby. But yeah, started to feel a bit better. Had a full roast dinner yesterday. That helped. Kitty makes a good roast. So yeah, that's our weeks. So why not get straight into it? The headline act of our podcast, the news. We've scoured social media for news stories and memes that are being shared and taken at face value, dug a little deeper to find the truth behind the headlines and the real maths behind any stats. So without any further ado, here's this week's news stories. Tell you what, Kitty, do you want to do the first one?
Sure. Story number one is that the little baby face in the middle of the sun in the Teletubbies has had a baby, allegedly. And that's been shared by Greg James, as in the Radio 1 DJ.
Yes.
And other people have been sharing it on social media, and it's also been spotted on Digital Spy. The story is, or the meme is, that there's a photo of the girl that was the baby face in the middle of the sun on the Teletubbies, sat next to the original photo, now holding a baby.
Yeah, and these people were sharing this. Greg James shared the original post, and so obviously it picked up popularity from there. And obviously people are feeling old by this, because obviously there was a baby in the Teletubbies.
I don't think it's correct.
And now old and had a baby, supposedly. No. You don't think that's true? What about you, Matt? What's your initial thoughts on that?
I mean, one, how are we going to tell? Because that looks like every baby I've ever seen. And that blonde girl looks like every blonde girl I've ever seen. So how are you going to prove whether it is or is not that baby? So I say, all right, fine. You know, I don't mean to be so non-dramatic, if that's the right term, melodramatic or something. But
the reason I don't think it's right is because I'm sure that I saw a story maybe last year or the year before about that baby from Teletubbies turning 18.
Right.
And I'm not saying that people who are really young don't have babies, but she only just turned 18, so I don't think she's already had a baby.
Okay. That's logic. That's a logical reasoned
I could
response.
Be wrong. I might not have seen that, but I'm pretty sure I did see that.
Well, I did some digging, as we do, and I noticed that, obviously, it picked up popularity after Greg James retweeted it. The Teletubbies official account actually responded to Greg James to clarify and said that the picture shows the original sun baby, Jess Smith, with the new sun baby, Berry. Seeing Jess all grown up does make us feel old. So it's not her baby, but it is the new baby that's going to be taking over the role on new episodes of the Teletubbies. The Digital Spy article goes on to say more about that, stating that the new baby was chosen after an X Factor style competition.
What did they have to do? Put their faces in the middle of
the
sun?
I don't know, yeah. Paint themselves yellow and see how they looked as a sun. What are the criteria for a good sun face?
Round? Chubby baby cheeks?
Round and smiley, like most babies then.
I don't want to right away be the grumpy guy who came on here. But I have 2 points from this story that kind of annoyed me a little bit. One of them is sort of unrelated. I'm going to leave it alone, I think. But the second one is they named the baby Barry. Come on. Like, what's your name? Barry. Like Barry, like B-A-R-R-Y, that's your name? They gave you a boy's name? No, Barry, you know, like Strawberry, they named you. Come on.
But what if their surname was Straw?
Right, then just,
What's your name? Barry Straw. So in the register, it's Strawberry.
She could become a gangster and change her last name to Dangerous. Then she'd be, I'm Barry Dangerous. Is that, I don't know if that's, if that's racist, I apologize.
Berry is an interesting name. I haven't seen anyone called Berry before.
Beryl.
It's not an interesting name. It's a ridiculous name.
You're trying to be diplomatic, Al.
Yeah.
It's his show. He has to be diplomatic. I don't. I'm just a guest.
He's just a guest. Matt's views are his and his alone, and do not represent. No, no.
That's right.
But yeah, I don't necessarily dislike it as a name. I wouldn't call my own child Berry. But
I'm going to put it on the list. I'm going to put it on the list if there's a number two.
Well, if we have a number two, we're just going to call it number two. Right, so that's first news story. False. Nice and simple one to start us off. I'm going to take a look at number two because this one was actually sent directly to me from one of our listeners. Not deliberately, I don't think. He just sent it to me and I thought, huh, I'm going to use that.
Did he send it to you accidentally?
Did he?
Like,
did he say you use that?
No, he didn't. He didn't say that. No. Oh. No. Yeah. I just got a WhatsApp with this particular image on it, with no comment, no message, just this image, and it's an image, and it says, "In 1672, a mob of angry Dutch killed and ate their prime minister." Options. Just saying. And then there's a picture of a man from the 1700s. 17th century, I should say. And this was sent to me on the day that Boris Johnson became Prime Minister. from Mr. Andy Ball. I looked into it. The post was originally shared online in 2017, and it's been shared on Twitter and Facebook a lot in the last week with a new Prime Minister coming in. It's not been in the media much, but it has been on various meme websites and top lists and things like that. What do we think? Is it possible that a 17th century Dutch Prime Minister was eaten?
No.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I say yes.
Different
say
no. Difference of opinions here.
16th century people were crazy, y'all.
I reckon they killed him. I reckon they tied him to a boulder and dumped him in the sea. I don't think they ate him.
Oh, okay.
All right. I like that. I like. Whoa, you got some fire. Some fire in you.
I'm worried about... Why is she thinking about that so much?
I haven't. It just popped into my head.
If I ever go missing, guys, check the sea. If I'm tied to a boulder, you know who did it.
Off a jetty.
You can carry a... No. How many people do you think you carry a boulder?
I would try to swim out to help you, but there's sharks up there, so you're on your own.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the offer anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So a quick Google confirms that the Dutch Grand Pensionary, which is their equivalent to the Prime Minister, in 1672 was a man called Johan de Witt. The Dutch refer to 1672 as the Year of Disaster, which sounds good, doesn't it? The Year of Disaster.
That's what 2019 is going to be renamed as.
Annus Horribilis. It's the old Dutch version of that. Now, the Wikipedia page for him states... And so obviously this is Wikipedia, so you can take this with a pinch of salt. France and England attacked the Republic in the Franco-Dutch War. De Witt was severely wounded by a knife-wielding assassin on the 21st of June. He resigned as Grand Pensionary on the 4th of August, but that was not enough for his enemies. His brother Cornelis, particularly hated the Orangists, was arrested on trumped-up charges of treason. He was tortured, as was usual under the Roman-Dutch system of law that required a confession before conviction was possible, but refused to confess. Nevertheless, he was sentenced to exile. When his brother went over to the jail, which is only a few steps from his house, to help him get started on his journey, both were attacked by members of The Hague's civic militia in a clearly orchestrated assassination. The brothers were shot and then left to a mob. The naked, mutilated bodies were strung up on a nearby public gibbet, while the Orangist mob partook of their roasted livers and cannibalistic frenzy. Throughout it all, a remarkable discipline was maintained by the mob, according to contemporary observers, making one doubt the spontaneity of the event. So that's what Wikipedia says about the event. So that he and his brother were murdered and the body left for people.
And people... What did I say about 16th century people?
So looking into it a bit further, I found a website called History Extra that dug a little deeper into the story, and they said that there are accounts of some among the mob taking parts of the bodies and eating them. One man is even said to have eaten an eyeball. Although the stories may have been exaggerated, people often did take souvenirs from executions, such as those who dipped handkerchiefs in the blood of King Charles I. Yeah, other places were stating the same kind of thing, that there are stories from the time of people taking parts of his body to eat after he was killed. So it's kind of true. One caveat there, of course, is the fact that he wasn't Prime Minister because he'd already resigned. So they didn't eat the Prime Minister, they ate the former Prime Minister.
Well, people do say David Cameron looks like a ham.
But you wouldn't want to eat Boris, would you?
No, you don't know where he's been.
Exactly. Ugh.
Yeah. Oof. So it is kind of true, but there's no definitive proof that he was actually eaten. Whereas we just get prime ministers from eaten.
Da 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 da.
So there we go. We've had two stories already. We have had one that is false and one that is kind of true. So we'll move on to... Matt, do you want to give us story number three?
Sure. David Attenborough urges everyone to leave a spoonful of sugar and water in their garden to save humanity. In the most delightful way. I can't hear or see a line from a song without singing the rest of it in my head, so I thought I would share my neuroses with everyone else.
No, that's good. Thank you.
So the source's Facebook page shared over 6,000 times on initial post, and then the text has been copied and used by other Facebook pages. Covered also by Newsroom 24, who also wrote an article covering the comments, which has been shared a further 145,000 times, according to CrowdTangle. That doesn't sound like fun. CrowdTangle. So the page shows a screenshot of Attenborough's own social media post which states in the last 5 years, the bee population has dropped by a third. If bees were to disappear from the face of the earth, humans would have just 4 years left to live. This time of year, bees can often look like they are dying or dead. However, they're far from it. Bees can become tired, and they simply don't have enough energy to return to the hive, which can often result in being swept away. If you find a tired bee in your home, a simple solution of sugar and water will help revive an exhausted bee. Simply mix 2 tablespoons of white granulated sugar with 1 tablespoon of water and place on a spoon for the bee to reach. You can also help by sharing this post to raise awareness.
So there you go. That's what Attenborough supposedly said on this Facebook page. The name of the Facebook page, the first one appeared on, was Our Planet. And that CrowdTangle you mentioned there, that is a website that works out how many times particular news stories have been shared across social media.
Right.
So what do we think about that one? Do we think that is true? There's a lot about bees in the news.
I've seen people say this before, and when I tried it once with a bee that looked like it was struggling, the bee just fell in the water and then got all sticky and then it couldn't fly.
Yeah. I meant to drink it, not bathe in it.
Yeah, but how do you get him to drink it? How do you be like, here you go, bee?
Exactly. You can't communicate with a bee. It sort of crawled in it and then just got stuck.
So I'm calling BS on the guy who's not the guy from Jurassic Park.
No, he is his brother.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
It would be a proper Jurassic Park documentary if we got the other Attenborough to narrate it. That'd be...
I think it would.
They should have got him in.
Expense.
Richard Attenborough should have been like, no, if you want... Don't get that American guy to narrate the thing on the tour. I know someone.
Yeah, I know a guy.
I know a guy. He's pretty good at this kind of stuff. So I looked into this story, and it first appeared last summer. And then soon after, I actually found a BBC statement, which had been picked up by various news outlets like ABC and The Telegraph, who confirmed that the comments did not come from Attenborough, and the BBC had actually asked Facebook to remove the post, which they did. Basically, Sir David does not have any social media accounts, so if you see any screenshots of something that says it's from him, it is not from him. In regards to the actual doing that for the bees, gardenmyths.com says beekeepers do feed their hives in the middle of winter if the store food in the hive runs out, and they do use sugar solutions, but that's done because there's no flowers open at that time of year to feed the bees. They don't normally feed sugar water to bees during the rest of the year. There are lots of reports of bees just sitting, no movement and no flying. They look exhausted. They must need an energy boost. But no, bees don't live forever. Their lifespan depends on the type of bee and their role in life. Worker honeybees that are born in the spring only live for 6 weeks because they work hard collecting pollen and nectar. Male bumblebees only live a couple of weeks. A bee that is near the end of its life doesn't fly around very well. So that bee that looks exhausted and may need a rest, but there's a very good chance it's actually dying, and feeding it is not going to change that. Bees don't need to be fed, they say, but feeding them a bit of sugar water from a spoon doesn't do them any harm, providing it's a one-time thing. The problem is that people have expanded on the myth. If a bit of sugar water for an exhausted bee is good, then a lot of sugar water for all of the bees must be better. People are starting to leave out bowls of the stuff or even adding it to their bird baths. Beekeepers are warning that this can have serious consequences. Bees take shortcuts. If they can get sugar easily from a bowl rather than visiting 100 flowers, then they're going to do that. Upon returning to the hive, they'll tell all their friends, and the rest of the colony are going to do the same. Before you know it, you'll have hundreds of bees. It's not a big deal, you think, but the bees then store that sugar water in the hive along with the honey. They effectively make watered-down honey. It's not good for the bees, and no one wants to buy watered-down honey. So beekeepers are asking you not to do it.
Also, if they're just eating sugar water from a bowl, then they're not pollinating anything.
Yeah, exactly. And we went strawberry picking, didn't we, with Hunter on the weekend?
Yes.
And I did notice, actually, did you see the boxes?
No.
Hanging above some of the areas where you could pick the strawberries were big cardboard boxes with bumblebee things written on them. So they'd obviously had mini bumblebee hives placed in various positions along the strawberries to help pollinate stuff.
I feel like I've learnt a lot from this story.
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember you doing that for that bee and hearing that was a good thing to do. But it's interesting hearing this from gardenmyths.com is the name of the website that I found that particular answer on, that it's okay if you do it as a one-off, but don't do it regular because it's not good for them and they don't really need it. So it's another...
I'm too scared of them to go near them, so we're okay.
Okay, then. That's all right. Kitty, do you want this one?
No, because it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm saying this. I don't want it either.
Okay, I'll do this one then. horror, a zombie raw chicken breast comes back to life and crawls off table. This was first seen on the Chinese website Weibo around June 2019 and then spread through Twitter and Facebook over here as well. The story has been picked up by USA Today, The Mirror, The Irish Post, The Sun, The Star and all sorts of other places that I found it on. The headline that I just read out is from The Mirror's version of the story. Now, this is a video supposedly showing a piece of raw meat twitching its way off a dinner table, and it's been shared by various different people under different captions, but most commonly it's been referred to as zombie chicken. Have either of you seen the video?
Yeah, because you showed me. It's horrible.
I saw it accidentally. I didn't want to, but I looked.
And what were your thoughts? Did you think...
I thought, ugh.
It's disgusting. What's wrong with people? Like, here's a question I never, ever want to ask at the dinner table. Is that still alive? Or...
Yeah, you don't want any doubt, do you, really?
No, none. None. What is wrong with these? It's freshly... Come on, man. It's disgusting. And it's foul, and I didn't want to see it, and now I feel sick.
Well, here's some answers for you that might make you feel a little bit better. Or might freak you out a little bit more. Depends on how you take this. I did some research into this, and I actually found that it's already been looked at by Snopes.com, who are a fact-checking website. So I looked into what they were saying, and they found a good first story, which was in Chinese, which is why I didn't find it. So it says, Hong Kong News covered the video on June 17th, and reporters identified the animal as a recently skinned frog. An early posting from the Laugh No Worries Facebook page also identified this zombie meat as frog. They also suggest that the video shown is an extremely fresh cut of meat. While the animal is certainly dead, its neurons are still active and seem to be reacting to sodium ion, a chemical compound that can be found in salt and soy sauce. So I read that, I was like, okay, what does it mean, reacting to sodium ion? And they list an article, which I then read, from Scientific American. They investigated a similar video back in 2011, and their article says, when a creature dies, its neurons don't stop working right away, so long as there's still enough energy around to maintain that membrane potential, the neurons still work. So what you might have noticed is that in the case of any of the Dancing Dead, the cooks have added one key ingredient, salt, or soy sauce, which is very salty. Salt, or sodium chloride, is chock full of sodium ions. This overwhelming dose of sodium ions is enough to trigger the still working neurons into firing, signaling the muscles to contract. So that's what happens. And obviously the video they were referring to was three pairs of frog legs on a plate, which a guy just literally sprinkles salt over, and then the legs start to twitch. Not quite as much as this particular video, because this one literally jumps off the plate onto the floor.
It's horrible.
It's partly true, this one, because it does appear to be a real cut of meat. It's not CGI or anything ridiculous like that. It is a real cut of meat, but it's not a zombie meat. And we're not entirely 100% sure what type of meat it is. Potentially it's either frog or chicken, from what most people are saying. But yeah, it's just got a lot of salt or soy sauce on it, and it's making the muscles twitch. Which I find amazing and freaky in equal measures.
I just find it icky.
It is icky. I mean, I'm quite food curious. I would try most things. But if there was ever any inkling possibility of me trying frog, ever, that video has put me off it.
And we definitely, because I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't look at the video close enough because I started to feel sick. I didn't look close enough to actually see a shape other than just kind of like a blob. So is it just literally a pair of legs, or is this thing the shape of a frog?
It's like, not the shape of anything discernible. I couldn't work it out from looking at it. So that's why I think people are unsure what it is, because it's not, whatever it is, it's not an easily recognizable cut of meat.
Because the real sensitive part of me really, really doesn't want to think that whatever that frog is still alive and it's being skinned alive, right?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make me feel good. So, I don't know. Anyway, it's gross. They should stop that immediately.
Yeah,
what's wrong with getting a nice pan out and a little bit of olive oil, some garlic, some cloves, you know what I mean? Do it sexy, do it nice. What are you doing with the raw stuff? A little bit of butter, a little bit of mixed herbs, come on, we can do better.
Yeah, I would never go anything near any raw meat of any kind.
No. And I'm still not going to eat frog's legs even if you cook it that way.
No.
I'm just saying, we could be more classy about this.
I've never had frog's legs. Have you ever had frog's legs, Kitty?
No.
No, me either.
No. No, no. I've had crocodile.
Oh, nice.
I've eaten tongue.
You have, yeah. I sat and watched you eat tongue.
Ox tongue, I think it was.
You were fine with that until I pointed out the taste buds.
Yeah, I didn't like you doing that. I was enjoying my tongue until you pointed out.
Until I pointed out that it looks like tongue. It literally looks like a tongue. And then she didn't eat the last bit.
Well, I can assume everyone on this podcast has eaten KFC. So, I mean, who knows what we've eaten
today. Yeah, I suppose.
Not for several years.
No, yeah, very rarely.
So there we go. We'll move on to, I think Matt should take the next one. I think Matt needs to do story number 5 because he's an opportunity for an impression.
Oh, you queued me right up for one. So this is the photo, the picture. The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. That's George Orwell in 1984. And then we've got... And just remember, what you're seeing and reading is now what's happening. It's fantastic. Donald Trump, 2018. I added the that's fantastic on the end. So Trump says, just remember what you're seeing and you're reading is not what's happening. Or, these are not the droids you're looking for, to put it in the nerd terms. This is from a Facebook page, Bristol for Europe. And it's obviously seen on Facebook and shared over 11,000 times. I think you go into these things. I'm stealing your thunder now, aren't I?
No, so, that's cool. Yeah, so it's from that Facebook page, and it's basically an image with those two quotes up next to each other, suggesting that, obviously, George Orwell's 1984 classic bit of literature is Donald Trump starting to sound like he could become right out of that book. That seems to be what they're suggesting, that his quote is along those lines.
In fact, George Orwell sent me a text, said I'm the best president ever. I'm doing a terrific job. He told me on Twitter.
I can believe that Donald Trump would actually tweet something like that.
I know, it's incredible. We're in big trouble, folks.
As with most things with the Donald, it doesn't take long to search the source of some of his quotes because they are widely reported. Now, actual videos of him saying that are on Twitter, and Trump's full remarks are available on the White House website under a page called Remarks by President Trump at the Veterans of Foreign Wars on the United States National Convention, dated July 24, 2018. So he actually said it about a year ago. And then there's more detail about the quote. And he says, you know, other countries have tariffs on us, so when I say, well, I'm going to put tariffs on them, they all start screaming. He's using tariffs. China charges us, when we make a car, 25% tariff. We charge them 2.5%. Other than that, it's a fair deal, okay? Similar things with other countries, like the European Union. They're a big abuser, but it's all working out. And just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening. And I'll tell you, I have so many people that are so in favour because we have to make our country truly great again. So that's the full bit of the quote. So yes, he did in fact say that. And then on quick online search shows that 1984 is basically available. The whole text from 1984 is available online. So a quick search for that shows that that quote from 1984 is also true. So this story is true. He did say that, and that is in 1984, and it does sound kind of similar.
Scary times, man.
Scary times.
This current era, not to get dark, is going to be the time we're all going to look back on. And anytime somebody mentions it, it's just going to be the time where we're all like, oh, yeah. And no one's going to really talk about it.
Yeah. I do wonder what this period is going to go down like in the history books and what people will say about us in the future.
Oh, I have an idea of some of the things they might say about our current culture and people. But who knows? Let's have fun and read the next story.
Yes. Let's move on to what is the last one we've got, actually. Kitty, do you want to read the headline for this one? Story number 6.
Yeah, okay. In 1969, when black Americans were still prevented from swimming alongside whites, Mr. Rogers decided to invite Officer Clemens to join him and cool his feet in a pool, breaking a well-known colour barrier. And that is sourced from History Images Facebook page from the 24th of July this year. Been seen on Facebook. And there's lots of media coverage about Mr. Rogers since the trailer to the Tom Hanks movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood was released.
Yep, so there's been lots of stuff about him around in the last week or so since the trailer came out. Have you not?
No, seen nothing. What's the film about and what's the trailer? The
film is about Mr. Rogers. Who, do you know, are you aware of Mr. Rogers?
No, I'm not.
Do you aware of Mr. Rogers? Not Steve Rogers.
No.
Are you aware of Mr. Rogers, Matt?
Absolutely. I think knowing me, even just online, you know I definitely am. He was like a TV show host. He did a kids show. He was the TV kids show host. Mr. Rogers, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Tom Hanks. Oh, Tom Cruise would make a terrible Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks is making a film about him. So, yeah, there's quite a bit going around that I've seen on Twitter and things about him. The film is about a journalist going to interview him and then everything that comes out of that, I think. So it's towards the end of his career rather than a biopic about his whole career. But anyway, the Facebook page that is shared on is called, like Kitty said, History Images. A different version of the story was filmed in November 2015 by another Facebook page called Films for Action. And that one had a photo of Mr. Rogers and Officer Clemens sat with their feet in the pool. And that version of the story is a bit longer. It says, in August 1968, the country was still reeling from the assassination of Martin Luther King 4 months earlier and the race riots that followed on its heels. Nightly news showed burning cities, white flight, radicals and reactionaries snarling at each other across the cultural divide. A brand new children's show out of Pittsburgh, which had gone national the previous year, took a different approach. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood introduced Officer Clemens, a black police officer who was a kindly, responsible authority figure, kept his neighborhood safe, and was Mr. Rogers' equal, colleague and neighbor. Around the first anniversary of Martin Luther King's death, Mr. Rogers invited Officer Clemens to join him in soaking their tired feet in a plastic wading pool, and there they were, brown feet and pasty white feet, side by side in the water, silent, contemplating, without comment. So that's their version of the story. It's a little bit more detail in a bit of setting about the history of the time. Website Truth or Fiction has picked up on this and looked at it and mentions the fact that these Facebook posts placed the segment in the late 60s, a time during which a lot of people today presume that segregation had already ended. However, in many cases, integration didn't extend to swimming pools, an issue that remained contentious for years to come. In cases where public pools were legally desegregated, town after town in the American South filled their pools with dirt, cemented them up, sometimes even bulldozed them, seeing as desegregation meant equal access to public goods. Then floor line equality, where nobody had access to anything, was seen as the preferable path, and an ensuing deficit of pools led to privatised segregation of swimming facilities extending well into the 70s, which, yeah, I figured that was done with before then. It's a very interesting read, and there's lots more information about that out there if anyone wants to read more on that.
And it's a really beautiful moment if you want to watch it too. Yeah. There's a great documentary called Won't You Be My Neighbor about Mr. Rogers, which is heartbreaking in a good way, in a beautiful way, but it's a really great story, and just what a guy, man.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I was listening to Fat Man Beyond this morning with Kevin Smith, and he got talking about that documentary as well, and he was saying a very similar thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of Mr. Rogers in the past. I know of him. I think I've known of him via movies and TV where they mentioned him.
Yeah, or parried him like Eddie Murphy used to make fun of him, right? On Saturday Night Live, in my neighborhood. With the bullet holes Eddie Murphy.
So there we go. We finish on a true story.
And a lovely
guy. So anyone who doesn't know who he is, go, yeah, like Matt says, find that documentary you can if you watch it. Go and watch the trailer as well and give you a good impression of the guy. And maybe watch the film when that comes out. Not that they're paying us to say that. Other films are available.
With other actors.
With other actors. Not many without Tom Hanks these days. He seems to get around.
Tom Hanks is like a warm bath for me. Like, I'm in already. It's fine. You just tell me what we're doing and where we're going, and we're going to be fine. Because he seems to just transform into these roles, whoever he seems to play.
Yeah. There was, yeah. I can't remember, there's someone I used to work with who hated him and said he's just the same in every movie. I don't think that's right. I mean, maybe certain elements of him, but...
Maybe, yeah. He's one of those actors for me that within the first, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, it's Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks. And then within, like, 10 minutes, it's like, it's Forrest Gump. Like, he's just that actor, and it'll be the same with Mr. Rogers, because when I first heard Tom Hanks, I thought, no way, he can't play. Well, yeah, maybe. And you look at it now, and you think, He looks incredible, and I'm sure he's going to do a fantastic job. But other movies are available.
So thanks, guys. That wraps up our news section for the week. Now, if anyone listening has seen something online or heard something that you want to know if it's true, just let us know. We're happy to take a look at some of your suggested stories and discuss them on the next episode. You can contact us on Twitter and Instagram, where we are at MOSwooping. You can email us at MOSwooping@gmail.com. And you can leave us a voicemail on Anchor, where we are, you guessed it, MOSwooping. Plus, we have a Facebook page where you can get updates from us, as well as a Facebook group where you can join the community and share stories you found. You can search for Ministry of Swooping on Facebook and you will find both of those on there. And new for today, you can head to moswooping.tmill, that's TEEMILL.com, and buy a Ministry of Swooping t-shirt. There's the Ministry of Swooping logo t-shirt. And then the one inspired by last week's episode, it's a little green t-shirt with a little alien head on it, and it says, "I want to see them aliens."
Nice.
So I might be doing that over the coming episodes. If there's a particularly good quote or a great headline, I'll stick it on a t-shirt.
Share it on the Facebook event. You might get 2 million sales.
Right?
Yeah. If everyone goes, where's that t-shirt? International shipping is available. Next day delivery in the UK. All organic materials made in t-shirts. So moswooping.tmail.com if you're interested in that. So, time for some sports. Well, the facts penalty shootout. Take it in turns. Each of our two contestants are going to hear a series of five facts and will have to judge whether they are true or false. Whoever gets the most correct wins, and in the result of a draw, we're going to head to sudden death. So it's the fake oddity shootout. And this week, we are going to have Kitty go first.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, for those who are just joining us for episode 2 and didn't hear episode 1, Matt did beat Kitty 3-1. I believe it was in the first game. So Kitty is on the comeback trail. So Kitty, the brain is 25% fat.
True.
It is false. The brain is actually our fattiest organ, being comprised of nearly 60% fat. Miss early doors. Matt, the dark region of the north pole of Pluto's moon is called Mordor.
True.
It is true.
Oh, I'm so glad it is.
And that's why you obviously cannot simply walk there. That's for sure. Kitty, Martin Roberts' middle name is Preston.
Martin Roberts as in
Martin
home
Roberts
under the
as in home under the hammer. Martin Roberts. His middle name is Preston.
True.
No, it's false. It's Leyland. His real name is Martin Leyland Roberts.
What?
Leyland.
Smithers. Oh no, that's Smithers.
It's not Barry.
It's just not Barry, yeah. Right, back to Matt. It took the creator of the Rubik's Cube, Erno Rubik, 1 month to solve his own puzzle.
True.
That is true. That is true. That is 2-0. Kitty, back to you. Need this to stay in the game.
Nah.
Ketchup originated in China as a boiled down brine of pickled fish and spices called ketchup. Ketchup.
No, because it's tomatoes. False.
No, it's true.
Oh.
Matt, Sir Isaac Newton invented the cat flap.
False.
No, that's true.
Oh, come on.
Isaac Newton invented the cat flap. That is true. Kitty's still got a chance.
He surely had better things to do.
I think he did. Kitty, Navy uniforms turn bright orange after coming in contact with salt water, so a sailor can be easily spotted after falling overboard.
No.
You're saying false?
Yeah.
Correct, that is false. Although that would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
It's a good idea, but yeah, no.
No, it's false.
Sounds plausible, though.
So that pulls it back 2-1. Matt, The Casio brand of watches and calculators was named Casio because they used the compound calcium silicon oxygen as the quartz crystals in their watches.
True.
No, that's false. That is false. I don't know why they're called Casio, but I know that is false. Back to Kitty. In 2005, a fortune cookie company correctly foretold lottery numbers, resulting in 110 winners.
I want it to be true, so I'm going to say true.
It is true.
Yes.
Pulled it back 2-2.
It's getting tense.
An investigation did take place and no fraud was involved. Okay, Matt. The PlayStation 1 game, FIFA 2001, had a scratch and sniff disc.
False.
No, it's, apparently that's true.
Well, where did it smell like?
Apparently, FIFA 2001 smelled like a football pitch, while Gran Turismo 2 smelled like car tyres.
Gimmick.
Great. Great. That's great. I'm very happy for them.
Get you a chance to steal it at the death.
No.
If I lose because of the FIFA scratch and sniff disc, I'm not going to be happy. Scratch and sniff.
Yeah, because that was the end of the five, so it is going to sudden death now. So
I know it's I'll accept the loss.
Mos Def's real name is Derek Mosier.
Sure, why not, Derek?
No, it's false. It's actually Dante Terrell Smith. So Matt, if you get this one, you've won. There is a DC comic book villain called Animal Vegetable Mineral Man.
False.
No, it's true. There is. There is an animal vegetable mineral man. Back to Kitty. 41% of US citizens believe dinosaurs and humans existed at the same time.
True.
Correct. That is true. In a report done earlier in the decade, 41% of US citizens believe dinosaurs and humans exist at the same time, which means Matt has to score this one to stay in the game. All number plates in Ohio are the same colour.
True.
That's false. Please, Kitty wins. And it's false because the state gives out different coloured license plates for anyone convicted of DUI.
So. Oh, like there's one different one in the whole state? Oh, darn you, I'm shaking my fist at you, but congratulations, Kitty.
So Kitty wins the rematch on sudden death.
You know, that just makes us 1-1, though.
That makes you... Oh, we're going to have the rubber match at some point in the future. So, with the show coming to a close, we get to the bit where I beg. So if you've listened thus far through the show, thank you very much. We are very honoured. Do hit that subscribe button. Make sure you don't hiss. Don't hiss at us. And certainly don't miss any future episodes. And if you've got a minute, please do give us a rating and a review on whichever podcast system you're listening to us on. And also thank you to Mr. Andy Ball, who's recommended us 5 out of 5 on our Facebook page. So thank you for that.
Would that be the lovely gentleman from the Talking Codswallop show?
No, that is a old friend of ours.
Sorry, you can cut that out.
He's actually the guy who... He sent me a message in the week to say, just listening to your podcast, who's this Matt guy? He's really funny. I really like him a lot.
Oh, he sounds like an intelligent fella. I like him.
So yeah, he's an old friend of ours, and... So thank you very much for that, Andy. So yeah, if you want to give us a rating, please do, anyone. It helps us to be heard by more people and raise up the rankings. And once we actually get approved by iTunes eventually, people do it there as well, and we can get on and up the charts there. Also, don't forget to follow us on all the social medias and send us any news stories you want to look into. Any contact details going to come up at the end of the show. So before we go, Kitty, have you got anything last thing you want to say or anything going on you want people to know about?
I don't know why you ask me. I've got literally got nothing.
I'm just being polite. It'd be rude if I didn't ask.
At least warn me that I could prepare something.
I thought you would have worked it out after last week.
No, I've forgotten everything that happened last week, apart from Matt winning.
Oh, that's been stuck in your mind, has it, all week?
Yeah, eating away at me all week.
It wasn't you that set up the fake profile, was it?
Fake profile.
Oh, yeah, someone set up a fake Matt Lee's profile on Facebook.
Didn't know about this.
No.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, if you want the real story, you'll have to subscribe to my podcast. See what I did there?
Yeah, I was just about to say, go for your plugs, Matt.
Legend in My Spare Time is the show with my best buddy, where we just kind of shoot the shit about pop culture. And this next episode, We're going to talk about the fact that I woke up the other day to somebody setting up a completely fake Matt Lees account. It had started messaging friends of mine. And the profile picture is me with my eyes gouged out. Nice. So that's exciting. The other show, my big boy show, is Matt Lees Gets Creative, where I interview awesome guests every week, different creative types, to talk about our journeys. And this coming Wednesday, we have a Juno-nominated blues guitarist and an old buddy of mine, Sean Pynchon. So if you want to check those out, it's available everywhere that podcasts are available, and there's Facebook groups and all that kind of stuff.
I listened to your Larry Hankin episode this week. Mm. He's an interesting guy.
That one was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was like a great one.
It was just one of those things where podcast karma worked out, and he said he would do it. And then it was my favorite interview because I had to say, I think I said like 6 words.
Yeah, he loved telling a story.
Unbelievable. And I love that like New York style of like speaking and accent and everything about it. I could have listened to him forever. It was amazing.
I particularly loved the story of how he ended up doing that little part in Home Alone.
Yeah,
that like was amazing.
Yeah, like some of that stuff you're going to talk to people and you just have no idea what they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
So folks, maybe go listen to that. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a dream come true. And an unbelievable show. Unbelievable, especially for a guy in like his 80s. Mm. Just so switched on, such a funny, energetic guy. That was my favorite show. And if you don't know who he was, he's in Friends, he's in Seinfeld, he's in Billy Madison, and he has a small, interesting role in Home Alone.
Yes, yes. He was Mr. Heckles in Friends.
That's right, yeah.
But that was very interesting. I liked that. So, yeah, thank you very much for that, Matt.
Thank you.
Now, we end our show with our good friend Rando Cardrissian, who picks our episode title, or I think moving forward, our episode subtitle, because getting the whole thing in the title field, A, excludes us from certain searches, and B, is a bit long. So I'm going to put it as a subtitle. We do this because it's one of the special rules from Cards Against Humanity, which is where we got our show name from, and it was, in fact, the aforementioned Andy Ball who played the swooping card that gave us our show title. And I believe, did you say, Kitty, that he did it because you thought it would be funny?
Yeah, he did it because he said to me, I thought you would find it funny, and I did.
Yeah. So that's how this show title came about, thanks to Andy. So this week's subtitle for the show is, I'll just pick the cards out, Airport Security Guidelines Now Prohibit Full Frontal Nudity on Airplanes. So there we go, 2 random cards.
And that's just good sense.
Yeah, it is good sense. And that's what I think this episode has been, a lot of good sense.
Absolutely.
Facts about bees, telling people to go and listen to your podcast, go and find out about Mr. Rogers. It's all been a lot of good sense this week. I like that.
We learned if you disappear, then Kitty did it.
Yes.
And if I disappear, then whoever set up the fake account did it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get to the bottom of that soon. We will.
I genuinely have no idea, so I'm in the game like everyone else.
I'll be listening to your podcast to find out more, I'm sure. So thanks on that savoury note. We will say thank you for listening, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye. So long.
If you want to contact the Ministry of Swooping, you can email moswooping@gmail.com. You can send a voicemail at anchor.fm/moswooping. You can also join our Facebook group and be a part of the community. Just search for Ministry of Swooping. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram, where we are at moswooping.com.